Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. They're slippery, slimy, and you can see right through many of them. This month, young American eels are popping up in Sussex County after making the long journey from the Sargasso Sea in the North Atlantic. In this week's Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media Science reporter Katie Pikus tells us how the first state's Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control is tracking these eels to inform a coastal-wide management plan.
Jordan Zimmerman and Chad Betts are standing shin-deep in water under a Sussex County bridge at the base of a dam. The two state fisheries scientists are pulling young American eels out of a fishing net.
So we get all the eels out, put them in a splitter box.
They split up the box into a couple of sections, which helps them estimate the number of eels.
We'll work them back down till we have a couple hundred here. And since today's a subsample day, we'll take these back to the office, work them up, and extrapolate from that number what our total number is.
Zimmerman says the number of eels they catch and their coloration can help determine the timing of their arrival to Delaware's coast. The more translucent they are, the more recently they've arrived. At this stage, they're called glass eels.
When we have a subsample with a high proportion of pigment stage one, which is almost translucent, then we know that's a new cohort moving in.
American eels are born in the Sargasso Sea. The larvae drift on ocean currents towards estuaries, where they transform into glass eels. Zimmerman says they're looking for freshwater habitats, and Sussex County is a perfect fit. They change into yellow eels and spend 3 to 10 years in freshwater before maturing into the silver stage. Then, they migrate back to the Sargasso Sea.
All adult eels spawn in the Sargasso Sea. They spawn once and they die. So they make one contribution to the next generation and then they pass on.
Though scientists know a lot about the American eel life cycle, they still lack data on it. Delaware and other Atlantic states sample American eel as part of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's coastwide management plan for the species.
We do consider eel to be data poor, so we don't have a lot of data that kind of would feed a big model that would give us reference points, you know, is the stock overfished or is overfishing occurring.
Kristen Anstead is a stock assessment scientist with the commission. She says that's why Delaware's eel survey helps. To better manage the species, scientists want to know,
what is the status of the species? Where is it compared to historic levels? Where does it seem to be going? And how much do you need to leave to maintain that species? And how much can you take to support fishing communities and people who rely on that species?
So state scientists like Denrek's Jordan Zimmerman survey glass eels to predict changes to their population.
In theory, if we saw a crash of young of the year eels, it helps us understand what the status of the spawning population was at the time.
At a lab in Little Creek, Zimmerman anesthetizes a small sample of eels so he can get their weight, length, and color. He lines the eels up on a white square plate and weighs them. He measures their length in millimeters.
59, 56, 58, 59.
Then he puts them under a microscope to look at their pigment stage.
Let's take a look.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, translucent, you can actually see the blood flowing through.
The data helps Delaware and the commission track a species whose population has been considered depleted but stable at low levels. The commission says while past data indicates their numbers are stable, an assessment from 2017 still considers the stock to be depleted. But this could be a good year for eels in Delaware. Last year, the state saw about 300,000 eels over 27 sample days at the Sussex site. Just halfway through this year's sample, they've already seen 220,000, giving them hope the American eel is headed in the right direction locally. Katie Pikus, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Katie, for enlightening us this week. And that's all we have time for on this week's edition of The Green. These stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to everyone who helped make today's show possible, contributor Larry Nagengest, as well as Delaware Public Media's Katie Pikus and Kelly Steele. for all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media. I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us on The Green this week, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.